there's something about a woman crying that a man can't handle. It's bad, okay? We're studying Samson, and Samson had this girlfriend that she was
John
crying.
Chapter 11.
If you have your Bibles this morning, John chapter 11, we'll be reading just the first four verses of one of the most incredible stories contained in the Word of God. John 11, 1 through 4. Why don't you stand with me, please? And the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that you teach us your word. I hope that what we talk about this morning will make sense to the hearer. Be reminded that we serve an awesome God, capable of incredible things. And though many times we don't understand your plan or your work, we know that you are in control just as you were then, you are now. Help us never to forget. Bless this time, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John chapter 11 is the story of the resurrection or the bringing back to life of one of Jesus' best friends. We come to a bend in the road of the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It appears that they were one of Jesus' best friends, and Lazarus was sick. I'm reminded, and I know you've experienced the same things, that we can get up in the morning and your day can be going absolutely fine. Someone could ask you, how's your day going? And our answer would be positive, only for the phone to ring or for someone to stop by or for something to take place, that your world can be turned upside down and it can happen in seconds. We've all been there. I think it was one of those occasions where Mary and Martha and Lazarus were looking at the deteriorating condition of their brother. And they were good friends with Jesus Christ. I hope that you're a good friend with Jesus Christ this morning. But I couldn't help but think, if you were having problems with your car and you were best friends with Henry Ford, or if you were having financial trouble and you were best friends with Warren Buffett, or if you were having problems with arithmetic and you were best friends with Albert Einstein. A lot of times, relationships and connections matter. And so if something happens, I can remember back in the day when we were building this church, a man that's gone on into heaven now, but I was good friends with an individual of means. And I never once asked him to bail us out. Thank God we never needed to be bailed out. But I always saw it in the back of my mind. I'm thinking, I know so-and-so. And if I said his name, many of you would recognize the name. And I always thought, if I got in trouble, I think he's a guy I would call. That never happened. But I always knew him. So if you had someone that was sick in your family, and Jesus Christ was your best friend, and I'm not talking about the relationship that you and I have and adore with him. I'm talking about they ate together. They talked together. They fellowshiped together. Just as much as Mark and I might do, or Mike and I, or Al and I, or Casey and I, or any of you fill in the blank. Those were real relationships. And I'm adding to the Word of God now, and please don't, I'm not sinning here, but perhaps in a conversation, perhaps Jesus had looked at these three and said, if you ever need anything, let me know. You can count on me. It's possible they had a conversation like that. Naturally, the obvious thing to do would be to send for Jesus. And so they sent for him. Ever wonder if the Lord has let you down? Don't answer that. Days go by. Jesus was still not there. Finally, he comes into town and Martha runs to him and Mary sits in the house. What was Jesus thinking? Let's look at verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. The glory of God. Say that with me. The glory of God. Now remember in John chapter 9 and verse 3, we also looked at another instance where a man was born blind from his birth. In John 9, 3, said, Jesus is speaking. He said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. So we've got in John chapter 11, we have a dead man, and in John chapter 9, we have a blind man, and in both situations, for the specific plan of God. This is no accident, no delay, no sin, just life. Go figure. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if there are circumstances in your life that you don't understand, there's a good chance I don't either. But let me tell you something. Just because you can't see God's hand does not mean that he's not working. God is always working. Your life can bring glory to God. The Apostle Paul was a killer, a jailer of Christians. God stopped him on the Damascus Road. And in Acts chapter 26 and verse 15, as Jesus was confronting him, Paul says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he said to Paul, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of the things which thou hast seen and the things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in thee. In another portion of the Word of God, the Bible says, I'm going to show Paul the things that he must suffer for my sake. I don't appreciate the pastors out there, the preachers that want to say, boy, if you're following the Lord, it's just going to be so good. I just feel like something good is about to happen. If you're right with God, he's just going to pour down blessings. And I want you to know, he absolutely does that. But on the same token, he will bring trials and affliction into our life for the purpose to glorify God. God uses all things at all times, and we ought to be a willing servant to whatever he has in mind for us. And sometimes those things are gut-wrenching, horrible, difficult, blowing your mind type of circumstances that none of us appreciate at the time. Your life can bring glory to God. Not only can your life bring glory to God, the Bible also teaches that your death can bring glory to God. And I've seen that over and over and over in a wonderful life of a Christian individual that has gone on to glory, where we're able to share the story of Christ in their life and their witness. And I've said this week, and I hope, I don't know if I should say it or not, but I'm going to. I've, at 60 years old or very close to it, it almost seems, I don't know if I should say this or not. I'm starting to wonder now. Lord, what should I do? All right, you asked for it. And some people, I've started to realize that sometimes a funeral is more of a blessing than a wedding. Because at the funeral, we know how it all ended. At the wedding, a lot of times I'm scared to death. Not for the couple, but you don't know what kind of trials and lives and things are going to happen. But by golly, at a funeral for someone that has served the Lord and the testimony that has been lived. And Solomon himself said, blessed is the end of something rather than the beginning. And it's true. And I can remember as a young person looking at that and saying, well, that's not right. Have you learned anything from the Bible that now you agree with that you might have disagreed with earlier in life? I know I have. So your death can bring glory to God as well. And so in John 21 verse 18, they are having a conversation. In verse 18, the Bible says, and verily Jesus is speaking, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, this talking to Peter, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Your death can bring glory to God. So obviously we want God to use our life, and honestly, my prayer is that God will use my death. Martha meets the Lord. Jesus comes walking into town 4 days late. She goes to meet him. Martha runs out. She looks at him, and I'm paraphrasing, your timing is terrible. If you'd been here earlier, Lazarus would not have died. In other words, he's dead because of you. Blaming God is not a new phenomenon. It's been going on for thousands of years. In verse number 22 of our text, in John chapter 11, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, she was mad at God, but she still believed. You can be upset with the Lord. We're human. We have loving parents. I've been upset at my parents. We're human. We have a loving God incapable of error. But sometimes we get upset with him. She was upset with him, but she still believed, because in verse 22 she says, I know you're late, but I recognize even now, whatever you do, it'll be okay. One of the greatest things that has always bugged me about God is that, and I'm bragging about him as well, is that God can do anything. I mean that. God can do anything. He can work any plan he wants to. So there's been times in my life where I say, God, I know you can do anything. Why is it you choose to do it this way? Can't you choose another way? But sometimes he'll choose things that we would not choose for ourselves. Verse number 23, John chapter 11. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. It's incredible to me. The Bible obviously leaves a lot of things unsaid. And Jesus looks at Martha and she says, your brother will rise again. And he knows exactly what's going to happen. And sometimes we'll do things, believe it or not, most things in this church that happen are planned. It looks random at times, but there really is a plan. And sometimes you have a plan to do something really fun and exciting, and you can't wait to get to that point when we're going to do this big surprise or this big reveal or something's going to go on. And so you're excited to get to that point. And I can't help but wonder if Jesus isn't kind of excited to think, Lazarus is coming back. And he knows it, but they don't. They're crying. They're blaming him. And in verse 23, he says, thy brother will rise again. And she says in verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Your brother will rise again. Come on. The Tall T is the name of a Randolph Scott movie. Okay? A lot of times, a lot of my sermon preparation is in front of the TV. Just want you to know. So, the Tall T, Randolph Scott. And What was the girl's name? I got it written down here. Maureen O'Sullivan. And then Richard Boone is the bad guy. Richard Boone was Paladin, Have Gun, Will Travel, okay? So we got Richard Boone, Randolph Scott, and Maureen O'Sullivan. Richard Boone's the bad guy, and he comes in, and there's this big gunfight going off, and they're shooting it out, and Randolph Scott shoots Richard Boone right down, right in front of Maureen O'Sullivan. And he goes down, and it's a big flurry, and it looks like Randolph's going to be killed, but he gets Richard Boone at the last of it. And, you know, it's one of those scenes where, got shot in the face. It was bad. See, I haven't seen it in so long, I forgot how it went. But anyway, so he gets shot in the face. It's really gory as those old movies were, which weren't that gory. But anyway, it was a traumatic scene. One of those things, you ever watch, one of the things I love to do to the kids, when you get to a series that's been going for like 5 or 6 years. And this is like year number 2, and you've seen all of them, and you're thinking, and it looks like this is the last, he's not going to make it out of this one. And I'll say to Kate, I said, this must be the last episode, because obviously he's going to die, and this will be the end of the show. And it looked like Randolph Scott was going to die, but he got Richard Boone, and Maureen O'Sullivan, she is coming unglued. This is awful. She's going crazy. You got to watch it. And she's freaking out. And Randolph Scott grabs her, and he says, Oh, come on. It's going to be a nice day. That's how it ended. Oh, come on. It's going to be a nice day. So, guys, next time you got a woman just crying, going crazy, which there, one of the things, I even mentioned this in our junior high Sunday school class for our kids that were in there. There's something about a woman crying that a man can't handle. It's just, it's bad, okay? We're studying Samson, and Samson had this girlfriend that she was crying, and it was bad. It was kind of like Randolph Scott, Maureen O'Sullivan. So anyway, so there, and one of the things I found now, based on Bible study, that the next time I can't handle you, which will probably be today at some point, it's going to be a good day. I've said all that ridiculousness to say this. I think it was that type of thing where Jesus is standing there next to Martha, knowing he's going to raise Lazarus again, and you'd think he'd say, oh, come on, it's going to be a good day. But he doesn't. What's he say? I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm right here. And so Martha says, I know he'll rise again at the last day. In verse 24, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Say that with me. Believest thou this? And I'm telling you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest game changer of any part of any history of anywhere in the entire world. Once you believe in the resurrection, everything else is easy. Okay? He looked at her, Martha, and he says, do you believe that? And I want to make the statement, I have it in my notes as I was thinking about this, and probably most of you have lived this as well. Nothing tests your faith like death. I'll say that again. Nothing tests your faith like death. And I have known Jesus Christ since I was 4 years old. And I believe in him. I believe in this Bible that I'm teaching, I'm preaching out of. I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I've said that over and over without apology. But I'm telling you, when you stand over the body of a loved one and you recognize that you will never speak to them again on this side of eternity, and you have the service, and you do all the things to glorify God in their death just as in their life, I'm telling you, if you don't wonder if what we believe is true, there's something exceptional about you. Because there was a time in my life when I thought, is this really true? Can I really believe that I'll get to see them again? And I'm here to tell you that you can believe in it, but nothing tests your faith like death. And believe me, Mary and Martha were being tested right then about everything that they believed. Everyone has to decide for themselves what they'll choose to believe about what happens when we breathe our last breath. As Christians, we believe in the resurrection and the life, but it is tested when we see a loved one pass on, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. J. Vernon McGee writes in his commentary, I notice in the cults and in the religions of the day, there are all kinds of chicanery and racketeering, but nobody is in the business of raising the dead. Although some of them have claimed they can raise the dead, they never produce the body, the corpus delicti. When Jesus healed the sick, it was the body that was healed. When Jesus raised the dead, it was the body that was raised. Many religions promise much for this life, but nothing for the hereafter. That is like taking some for an airplane ride without knowing how to land the plane. The great hope of the Christian faith is the resurrection of the dead, end quote. I like that. Old McGee, he's a good guy. He being dead yet speaketh. Jesus raised three people from the dead. A young girl who had just died in Luke chapter 8. A young man who was laying in the casket being carried to the cemetery. I love that one. And Jesus sees that, and he sees the anguish and the mom that had last lost a boy. And he goes along, and he touches the coffin, and he tells the boy to arise. And he sat up in the coffin while they're holding him up. Oh, I think I'm going to drop the casket. Can you imagine? And how awesome would that have been to be there and have your boy back? Oh, my word. A young man And obviously, a young girl that was the leader of the synagogue, and of course, the story of Lazarus. And so, I just want to say, and I'm not splitting hairs, they were not resurrected, they were brought back to life. God took that old body and he gave it life again. But Jesus was the first one resurrected. And in the resurrection, we won't be having this old body brought back to life. We will be given a new body and a new life. And Jesus said to say those folks that he brought back to life ended up dying again. Although I have an idea they did not fear death that time because they'd already experienced it before. From verses 27 to 35 in John chapter 11, Martha retrieves her sister Mary and tells her that Jesus asked for her. The Bible doesn't show that he did. She comes to Jesus with the same accusations as her sister. I think Martha lied to Mary and said, he's asking for you, because she didn't think she'd leave the house otherwise. So once Mary hears that Jesus is asking for her, she comes and meets with Christ, and she says the same thing that Martha had said. If you'd been here, if you'd just been here. And I can imagine the conversations they had been having about Christ while he wasn't there. I don't think they were very uplifting. Jesus, looking around, seeing the grief, recognizing the pain that they had gone through and experienced the loss of their brother, records the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Was it going to end well? Yes. Did God have a plan? Yes. Was God working to make all things come together for good, as in Romans 8, 28? Absolutely. Then why did Jesus cry? And I believe that even though he knows the ultimate outcomes of our lives, that our life can bring glory to God, that our death can bring glory to God, he hurts when we hurt. When he saw the pain that God's plan had caused, he cried with them. The verses 36 to 37, the Jews were touched that Jesus was hurting as well, and wondered among themselves whether Jesus could have made a difference had he been there. Verse number 38, look at me. Jesus, therefore, again groaning. Look at verse number 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned. Lord, what are you groaning for? Are you lifting something heavy? No. Are you in pain? Somewhat. What's the groan? And I think at times the Lord, I think you and I make God groan when we doubt, when we wonder. How many times does he have to show us his goodness, his answer to our prayers, his faithfulness? And then we go on and question, could God have made a difference? Let me tell you something. If you're asking if God can make a difference, I've got the answer for you. Absolutely, yes. Without question, without a doubt, God can make a difference. But obviously, Jesus was groaning on that day. Ezekiel 12, 1 and 2, sometimes we wonder why people don't understand, and the Bible records, Son of man, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and they see not, they have ears to hear, and they hear not, they are a rebellious house. And I want you to know, if you're here this morning, and you are rejecting anything that I'm saying that's probably rebellion, stop rebelling and just believe what God has for you. So, verse number 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? There it is again. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he prayed, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me, hearest me always, but I, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And by golly, that old guy came out of there all bound up in bandages and walked out of there. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Someone said he had to say Lazarus, because if he had just said, come forth, every dead body would have come walking out of that cemetery. How great is that? So there's old Lazarus. Life again after death. Can God change your equation? Absolutely. And so the Bible records in verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I don't know about you, but a guy being dead 4 days, sometimes God waits to make sure we really understand the difficulty of the situation. He waited 4 days to make sure, you know, it used to be, you don't hear it anymore. We used to have wakes. You ever go to a wake? We've all been there. They call it a wake. What's the wake for? Well, you go there. The reason why they have a wake is, my understanding, is it used to be we weren't very good at pronouncing folks dead. Sometimes we'd say they were dead and they weren't. So they'd take that, what they was pretty sure was a dead person, and they'd lay them out in the house. And there they'd lay. On a table, wherever, some comfortable looking place. And we go to the wake. And so you go there. There's the dead person laying there, and everybody else is just around. We're just waiting. There's a chance he'll wake up. And every now and then, it was rare, but every now and then, while everybody's sitting around talking, voila, he's back to life. Whoa, he wasn't dead. That's why we call it a wake. I think the Lord waited 4 days to make sure you understood Lazarus is dead. He ain't waking up. They even said, there's a smell. Don't get downwind of Lazarus. He's odoriferous. He stinketh. I think sometimes the Lord allows situations to deteriorate to a point. And I've wondered, I've experienced it in my own life. Lord, have we gotten to this point where I'll recognize once you do the miracle, there'll be no doubt it was a miracle? We've prayed and prayed for Jeff and Patty. And Jeff is not getting better. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do. And it's possible, you know, Jeff, if I can say this, Jeff hasn't said this to me, but I'll say it. Jeff's bags are packed. He's ready to go. His reservation is made. His future is assured. He is a sold-out believer in Jesus Christ. And we've asked for his healing. He's missing body parts now that doctors have said needed to be removed. Those are gone. Well, I'll tell you what, if God decided to raise up Jeff McLeod and heal him, would there be any doubt it was a miracle? And I'm thinking, Lord, are you waiting so that there'll be no doubt? Even doctors will look and say, wait a minute, wait, how could that part be in there? That part was taken out. Now it's back. How could that be? Well, my God can do anything. My God can do that. Will he or not? I have no idea. See, that's the frustration of God, is that God can do anything, any way he wants to. And I say, God, why do you have to do it this way? God's going to do what God's going to do. And it would be normal for us to question him. But on this day, 4 days later, Lazarus comes walking out, and many of the Jews believed. Do you think so? Sign me up. I believe if I didn't before. But even more amazing than that is verse number 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You wouldn't believe what that Jesus did. He raised Lazarus again, and he's going to get to be more popular than you guys, and you need to stop this. This can't go on. You need to stop this. These people coming back to life. We're going to lose our position. We're going to lose our popularity. He needs to go. Can you imagine criticizing that kind of work? But that's exactly what they did. I'll tell you what, Lord, don't ever let me criticize what you do perfectly. And for whatever reason, please, 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 don't come up with an excuse not to believe in the Lord. He's a miracle-working, sin-forgiving, life-giving Savior that if you are in crisis, I don't know how it's going to go, But if you will trust him, it will be okay. Come on. It's going to be a nice day. Heavenly Father, we believe in you. I've seen you do incredible things, and I'm not claiming a miracle this morning other than claiming for those that will trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they can have eternal life. They will be given a new life. We are dead in trespasses and sins before Christ, but after Christ, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The greatest miracle that ever takes place is the miracle of a new birth. When folks ask you to forgive their sins and come into their life and be their Savior. And Lord, if there are those here this morning that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I pray right now they would trust you as their personal Savior by saying, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Lord, please help folks to do that, to trust you as their personal Savior, to be born again. And Lord, there are folks that are going through circumstances right now. Maybe their finances are dead. Maybe they've got a loved one that is deathly ill. Maybe they've got a marriage that is hurting. Maybe they're wondering about their future. Whatever it is, God, I pray that they would give it to you. And there's a chance you'd bring new life into it. Or give them a new path that would, over a period of time, make sense to them. Lord, we know you are perfect and you don't make mistakes. And it seems like things happen for the glory of God. So, Lord, I pray that you would get glory in our lives today, in the decisions that we make and the faith that we exhibit, that our life would bring glory to God and that our death would bring glory to God. We'll open the altar and we'll give folks a chance to respond. Lord, help us to believe you, to obey you, and to follow you no matter what the circumstances. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.